Our gospel for this fifth Sunday of Lent really prepares us for the most important week of the year, which is next week, Holy Week, beginning with next Sunday, which is Palm Sunday. So today's gospel is from the 12th chapter of John, and it's really helpful for us to know what's going on in this chapter so that we have context. So in the chapter before this, in chapter 11, Jesus raises Lazarus. And Lazarus had been dead in the tomb for 4 days when he was raised. So that itself causes quite a stir. And he does this in Bethany, which is just a couple miles outside of Jerusalem, so close to the big city. So this would really have attracted attention to Jesus. And we get that sense also from chapter 12. Right before today's passage that we hear today, Jesus enters Jerusalem for the final time for the Passover. And the crowds hear that he's coming into town. And so what do? They gather at the entrance and they take palm branches and wave them as Jesus enters into the city. And then we get to our passage today. So what John tells us is that there were some Greek-speaking Jews who wanted to see Jesus. So they go to Philip. Why did they go to Philip? Well, because Philip has a Greek name and he's from Galilee, which is half Gentile territory. So apparently they felt that they might have access to Jesus through this particular disciple Philip. And why does it matter that these Greek-speaking Jews wanted to come see Jesus? Well, it shows us just how well-known Jesus is becoming, that even these Greek speakers who came to Jerusalem from a distant country, who don't even know probably the language spoken in Jerusalem, which would have been Aramaic, if even these people know about Jesus, then everybody knows about Jesus. We could say, if kind of in worldly terms, that Jesus is at the height of his career. Everybody knows who he is. For people who run big churches today, people who are televangelists or who have their own mega church, I mean, this is the kind of status that everybody is looking for, where everybody knows about you and is talking about you and is trying to hear you and see you and have access to you. This is the state of things in Jerusalem. The crowds are there for the pilgrimage feast of Passover, and everybody is talking about Jesus. Many of these people correctly have identified Jesus as the long-awaited-for Messiah, and they want to make him their king. They're hoping that this King Messiah is going to restore the former glory of Israel that it hasn't had now for 1,000 years. They want this Messiah King Jesus to liberate Israel from their Roman occupiers and bring it glory once again. So I think knowing this is helpful for us as we go into Holy Week. Kind of reminds us why the Jewish religious authorities in Jerusalem were so up in arms about Jesus, because everybody was paying attention to him. Nobody was paying attention to them. The authority and superiority that they had over the people was really being threatened by Jesus. A new religious authority was in town, and it wasn't them. It also helps us to understand why the Romans were interested in Jesus. They feared, perhaps reasonably, that he would lead a popular rebellion against them. And so this is the context of today's passage. Jesus' celebrity, his being so well known by the crowds who were fascinated by him, captivated by him, and who longed to crown him their king. So it's at this moment, at the apex of his popularity, that he says this in today's gospel: "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified, And people who heard him say that would have been like, hallelujah, yes, we want you to be glorified. Glorify yourself. And then he says this next, explaining how he will be glorified. He says, amen, amen, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat fall to the ground and die, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. What? The people would have responded, why are you talking about death? And then Jesus says this, whoever loves his life loses it. And whoever hates his life in this world will preserve it for eternal life. What in the world is Jesus talking about? The kingdom that Jesus comes to establish, and he does come as king, and he does come to establish a kingdom, but this kingdom is much different than the people imagine. It's not a kingdom of domination, of one over another. It's not a kingdom of self-absorption, of obtaining all of the pleasures that we can for oneself, all of the worldly success that we can. Rather, it's a kingdom of service to others, a kingdom of making a gift of one's life. Today, Pope Francis was talking about this gospel, and he said so beautifully that the kingdom of God is dono y perdono, which means in Italian, gift and forgiveness. The kingdom of God is making a gift of ourself, and the kingdom of God is forgiveness and mercy. It's not dominating or domineering over others. It's not finding a way that we can be first, but rather it's using any authority or gifts that we have to give to others, to bless others, to put others first. This is the true liberation, because this is the disease that each of us has. We each want to be first. We each tend towards selfishness, towards self-absorption, towards self-focus. Jesus indeed comes to liberate us, but not from some outside oppressor, not from the government, but rather he comes to liberate us from within so that we can be free, so that we don't have to live a life of selfishness or self-absorption or self-focus, but rather we can do what he does, lay down his life for the good of the other. And the image Jesus uses for this is the grain of wheat that falls to the ground and dies. I was just thinking this week about seeds and the act of planting. I was over at my grandpa's house this week, and he gave me this pack of carrot seeds, and encouraged me to plant them. And so I politely gave them back to him and encouraged him to plant them. And then I would help him to eat the fruit that comes from that. But I was looking at those carrot seeds that he had handed me, and we were talking about how they just look like nothing. Carrot seeds are so tiny. I mean, if there were some on your counter, you would just brush them into the garbage, because it looks like that's about all they're good for. But if you know what it is, even though it appears like nothing, if you know what it is and you bury it and you cultivate it, then it can actually become something very beautiful and great and tasty, something very surprising. It looks like a little pebble, but when broken open, in other words, when the seed allows itself to be destroyed, new life comes from it. And not just any new life, but beautiful new life. A green shoot, and then a beautiful green plume, and then precious, richly colored fruit, delicious fruit. And this is Jesus. This is his whole life, that he allows himself to be poured out, broken open, buried, and he raises to new life. The fruit of his being broken is resurrection from the dead. If we want to bear fruit in our own life, and if God wants, and that's what God wants for us, to bear fruit in our own life, to bring about the kingdom of God, this is what each of us needs to do. Wouldn't it be something if every day we could live by this truth, that unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat? Unless today I find a way to die to myself and to live for God and for others, what a wonderful kingdom we would have if each of us chose to live that way today and each day. Let's ask God for the grace really to prepare for the celebration of Easter, especially to live this gospel where Jesus invites this death to ourself so that we might live and that others may live too. Let's ask the Lord for the grace that we need so that we can enter into his paschal sacrifice, his death, so that we might experience with him new life and resurrection from the dead.